Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so swing on over there. You can catch up on the blog that just popped up there yesterday. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. So go ahead and do that. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are also out there on Twitter. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with three E's.
So, and then just a real quick update, Dan, since I killed them yesterday, my RotoWire lineup from yesterday's baseball games won me a dollar. So it did produce for the first time. So we'll see how it goes tonight, but I wanted to get that out there. But I had a weird thing. Like, Dan asked me before we came on if I watched any baseball, and I mentioned to him that for some reason, I sat through quite a bit of the Cubs' just embarrassment yesterday against the Reds. I mean, they made Sonny Gray look like Walter Johnson. And I know, like, I had some idiot at work today when we were talking about it tell me, like, what do you mean they scored 7 runs? Yeah, weren't they down 12-0 or something like that before they scored? So that made a whole lot of difference.
Well, and not only that, they didn't even start scoring until he was taken out, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he was long gone by the time the Cubs scored a run. I like Sonny Gray. I think Sonny Gray is a good major league pitcher. I don't think of him as being dominant. I would say, there's a lot of people who don't even think he's the best starter on his own team. But, I think if I was ranking pitchers, he'd probably end up in my top 25 or so. He's definitely a quality major league pitcher, but he's nowhere the talent that the Cubs made him look like last night. And, Dan, this brought me to something that I've kind of slowly realized about the Cubs, that over the last 5 years, and yeah, I'll throw in the year they won the World Series, they are easily the most disappointing team in baseball. And I know any Cub fan listening just fell over saying, oh, my God, they won a World Series. What are you talking about? Okay, well, if you think about it, you look at this team, it should be a dynasty. We shouldn't be talking about a team that has one World Series win. We should be talking about a team that has multiple World Series wins and contends every year to go to the World Series. And you've got to wonder what the holdup is. I mean, you can go back to 95 where, okay, they got in as the wild card, but it was a close division race. And then they went out and they were just embarrassed by a New York Mets team in the, the NLCS. That really should have been the year the streak broke. They should have won the World Series in 2015. They got the job done in 2016, so okay, yeah, great. You have a fantastic year. You win the Central again in 2017, but then you choke to the Dodgers in the NLCS. They got beat 4-1, and that wasn't even a close series. you know, the next year you stumble into the wild card and you can't even win the wild card game. You get knocked out by the Rockies. And then we get the last year where they were so pathetic, they were barely over 500 and couldn't make the playoffs. They've actually only won the Central Division twice in these 5 years where they should be the most dominant. Last year, I believe the Brewers won the Central Division. And, Dan, what I want to ask you is, besides Christian Yelich, name me an everyday Brewer player that could start for the Cubs.
Nope, he's not there anymore. Lorenzo Cain?
Yeah, he was the only other guy I thought of who could be in the starting lineup. No, Ryan Braun way over the hill.
No, I know.
Maybe in his prime. You know, like you could throw in Keston Hiru just because the Cubs' second base position is such a mess. But that doesn't really mean he's a quality player. It just means the Cubs' second base position screwed up. You know, then you're looking at a team here, Dan. You have Chris Bryant and Javi Baez, who should contend to win the MVP award every year. You know, Anthony Rizzo is probably a top five first baseman. Wilson Contreras is easily in the top three of catchers. And just a couple of years ago, people were saying he's the best catcher in baseball. Why does this team only have one World Series win?
Because of Theo. I mean, who else do you
think? Yeah, you know, and then you've got to wonder, you know, and I mean, you know, maybe it's just not, you know, I mean, there's always the possibility it's nobody's fault and, you know, the players just can't handle it. You know, I mean, obviously it's one thing to perform in the regular season, but the playoffs becomes a whole different animal. You know, and I mean, Theo has made his share of mistakes. You know, let's face it, Jason Hayward's never going to live up to that contract.
No.
It now looks like the Yu Darvish signing is going to be a really bad one. You know, oddly, I don't think your guy Daniel Descalzo has played since he's been signed. I know he's on a low-money deal, and it's not that big a deal. But, you know, I mean, just a huge signing mistake. You know, Kyle Schwarber hasn't turned into the 50 home run hitter we were promised. You know, Ian Happ is, you know, maybe he'll work it out. But as of now, he's a first round bust. You know, and I mean, the more I look at it and I think back and I can't figure out why this team isn't a dynasty and why they just don't dominate the National League Central every season. And I'm just to the point, Dan, where I'm kind of under the impression that these players are complacent and they're not really hungry to win because, you know, they won in 15 and 16 and then kind of won again in 17 and 18, you know, and now, you know, it's just kind of, oh yeah, well, whatever, you know, we'll, you know, yeah, great. Hey, let's, you know, let's go out and Brizzo it up and have some fun. And, you know, if we win, great. If not, oh, well, that's just what happens. You know, and that's the only thing I can think of, Dan, is there's just not a hunger or a drive for these guys to be great. And it easily shows. But I guess my question to you now, Dan, is this just the modern athlete and I'm too old of a man to, you know, get the competitive guys that I'm used to having?
No, well, I mean, ideally, we would want 25 Javi Baez's, no?
You know, I mean, in a sense. You know, I mean, I was kind of looking for more of the guys who want to go out and kill their opponent every day, not, you know, shake hands and slap asses and, you know, talk about where they're going to dinner afterwards. But, you know, I mean,
well,
I would take a whole bunch of Javi Baez's. Obviously, he's a talented player.
I mean, at this point, they shouldn't be going out to dinner or touching each other. Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny you bring that up, that portion, and I'll address that first. You know, the whole shaking hands and hugging and all that crap. You know, that night, and I'm not trying to set you back your age or, you know, even knock it or anything, but that drive that, you know, let's be honest. I think it died when free agency opened up. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, that attitude, there's an era of sports, and this is the reflective, maybe not so much the NFL, but definitely NBA and Major League Baseball. But when you think about it, that era that you kind of prospered in, which is an era, you know, guys like myself wish we could have witnessed, was that 60s and 70s. And yeah, in the 80s, you know, you had this attitude. You know, if you watch a Dodgers game and you listen to Oral Hershiser talk, you get some interesting insight about how he would have did things and how he would manipulate things. And, you know, the one story that's always brought up is, you know, what the hell was Robin Ventura thinking? And that's actually what he was thinking when he charged Nolan Ryan and got his ass kicked. You know, I mean, that attitude is never, it's not going to come back. And a big portion of it is what you've brought up a million times is, you know, these guys, to get to this elite status, you're part of this special club. And oddly enough, you know, LeBron James and friends, you know, it's not just that they're friends. And you're looking at guys who are, you know, 14 years old in Ohio. Yeah, Ohio. And then you've got, you know, wherever the hell Mello was from and these other guys. And they're all in junior high going into high school, and they're being put on these super teams, these McDonald's teams and this team, and they're all playing together. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, as far as we know, they all know each other. You know, think about Bryce and Bryant. You know, they went together. So I think you're going to have that. And the only way you're going to get it to where guys want to come out and kind of kill each other is when a team cheats to win the World Series. But, you know, and then personal things like, you know, obviously Zach Greinke, supposedly one of the reasons he left, wanted to leave, was because he didn't like Yasiel Puig, which, you know, maybe he's a lot to be around, but, you know, a guy like that, I don't know. I think he's shown to the world and, you know, that he's really not a bad guy. He just probably has a big mouth and he's eccentric. It looks like to be a lot of fun around. Just ask his minor league team from the Dodgers. You know, so I still think it's cool that these guys are able to establish relationships and be friends. But like you said, when it comes to the field, you know, it's got to be – you got to learn to turn that off. And, you know, that was something that I was actually watching some – I found some wrestling matches of mine. And, you know, I watched one. I was like, man, me and my cousin were pretty – bogus. Like, we literally beat the crap out of a kid. You know, I just, you know, the things we did, you know, we didn't really fluff things, you know, slamming a guy into the post or, you know, pulling his legs in between, things like that. You know, we were pretty brutal. But, you know, the part I'm not supposed to talk about was, you know, after that match was over, we went backstage and, yeah, I was actually watching my cousin and I beat up two rookies. And I mean, we didn't just beat the crap out of them. We worked them hard. You could tell when it was their time to shine, they didn't even have the energy to come back. And I don't remember that day or anything about it, you know, but what I do know is after that match was over, you know, we went backstage and we hung out and, you know, checked on him. Are you okay? You know, he wasn't of age, so I didn't buy him a beer afterwards. You know, cause it's illegal at the bar. If we were at someone's house, it would have been different, you know? So there was that part of it, but you know, that's the one thing I think that comes to play as Big Jack is I don't think some of these guys have that switch like we had. You know, you and I are hanging out backstage, and then the next thing I know, you're punching me in the face as hard as you can, and then, you know, all of your weight sitting down on my chest. You know, and then after that, yeah, and then you're suckering me into untying your boots afterwards. I don't know how that happened. I'm like, hey, I got sat on. How do I untie? Whatever. You know, that's my point. So I think there's that part of it, but I wouldn't say that the Cubs don't have that drive. I mean, how can you not – like, Javi has to be infectious. He's got to be – that attitude, that love of this game, he has to be infectious to that team. So I think that comes into it. But, you know, one of the things that I think has been 100% inconsistent on this team from day one is hitting. You know, Carlos – I almost just made up a name of a bunch of Cubs at once. Kyle Schwarber – is likened to be the great Bambino, you know, by a ancient scout who probably watched Babe Ruth play because that's how old he was. And I don't, you know, I never, maybe the chubbiness kind of was the resemblance, if that's kind of where he was going with it. But I mean, let's be honest, what is he at, 2-something? And I don't think he's had like a close to 300 batting average. To me, you know, and I know this is ancient. This is ancient, you know, for this game today. I don't really see a great hitter on that team. Anyone who, if you can't hit 285 or better, I'm sorry, you're not a great hitter. You're a decent hitter. And even at 285, would you call that great or just really good?
Well, in today's game, you're great. You know,
yeah.
I mean, because that's a huge deal. I mean, back when, you know, baseball mattered, 285 was just the guy who hit seventh in the lineup because he's hitting 285 and everybody else
yeah.
is around 300 or better. So,
but I mean, there's
yeah.
Just one more point. The Cubs from Theo on, especially with Joe, you know, this Joe is a personal guy. Joe Madden, great with the media, all that crap. But we don't know. We don't know Joe. We don't know Joe behind the scenes, and we don't know what it's like to work with Joe. And from the likes of it, I don't know if he's that great to work with, especially when you've got a Cubs team, like you said, that should have been a dynasty, that Uncle Bob just pressed on me year after year while they're losing 100 games. Don't you want a team that's going to contend every year? And then I, you know, was able to tell him before he passed, like, now, Uncle Bob, was it really worth it? I mean, they won the World Series once, and they really only contended 2 of those years that they were supposed to be, like you said, a dynasty. And each year, hitting has kind of regressed. It's not gotten better. And oddly enough, each year they seem to have a new hitting coach.
Yeah, because, yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting, you know, the comparison. You know, you look at the Dodgers, and I don't even know if I realize this, but the Dodgers have been in the playoffs in some shape or form every year since 2013. You know, they have 2 World Series trips. They went back-to-back. They got beat by the – or actually, they lost both times. They got beat by the cheating Astros and the cheating Red Sox. So, you know, you have to wonder if maybe we're talking about the Dodgers as multiple-time World Series champions had these 2 teams not cheated against them. But, you know, unfortunately, baseball isn't going to do anything about that. We went over it yesterday. You know, but, like, when I look at these teams, Dan, the Cubs drop-off to last year with all that talent, and now they didn't have any major injuries. You know, they had the minor ones here and there, but nobody missed a significant amount of time. You know, I give them a little bit on the one-loss record because they are in a tougher division, but 84 wins and not making the playoffs when you're the best team in the division is completely unexcusable. You know, and the Dodgers really haven't had that kind of fall off record-wise. I mean, last year they won 106 games, and again, a lot of that has to do with the fact that their division is just pitiful. But, you know, it's just the whole idea of, you know, and I get nobody sees it because the 2016 World Series to Cubs fans is like the 85 Super Bowl win for the Bear fans. And it doesn't matter if the Cubs win another World Series because anybody who's a fan is always going to go, oh, yeah, we had 2016. No, that's not good enough for this team.
No.
You know, I mean, this team has talent. And, you know, maybe it's too late now because you got to figure this is Chris Bryant's last year. You know, if he's still with the team at the start of next season, he'll probably be gone before it ends because they can't afford – to re-sign Bryant, re-sign Javi, re-sign Contreras. So some of these guys are going to go. Bryant seems to be the odd man out. So my guess is if he doesn't go this offseason, he goes sometime next season while they can still get something for him. Because they're not going to let him just play out free agency and walk away. I don't see that happening. And, you know, I mean, we're just going to start to look back at this core of players and go, really? They only won one World Series? I mean, that's it. Because they sure don't look like a World Series contender this year.
No. Well, we'll see. But, you know, and I think the biggest comparison is you look at the Dodgers, and while they have no World Series wins since 2013, when I picked them for like 4 years in a row to win, that's disappointing in itself. But like you said, the two cheaters didn't help them. But also, while they might not be a dynasty in the sense that with World Series wins, they've been the dominant contender in their division every single year. And I think that would have been, as a Cub fan, even more exciting than just the one World Series win. I could handle the one World Series win, but when you win a World Series and then the next year you barely get into the playoffs, and then the next year, the following year, you do even worse than that, that's not good enough. You know, and not to knock my fellow White Sox fans, but that's essentially what they did. You know, and you can't put anything on them, though. I'm not going to knock my friends and the team that won that World Series. What you and I will do probably until Jerry Reinsdorf has long gone and his family has nothing to do with the ownership of either one of those teams, it's an organizational problem, and that's why they will never win. I'm always going to have my banter with my Sox friends and, you know, your team sucks, and they'll tell me my team sucks, and you know, but at the end of the day, we both know the truth. It's not about the team. It's about the ownership and whatever. So, I mean, it's pretty acceptable for the White Sox, but it's not acceptable, like you said, for this team and the lack of progression. You know, and then not only that, the loyalty to holding on to guys that may not really be contributing, you know, or not even the loyalty, but signing guys that really don't need to be signed and aren't really worth the reasoning. Okay, Ben Zobrist gave you a back-to-back MVP, but after that, you know, what was he doing more so than anything? He was log-jamming every position so that guys that should have been playing weren't able to get those at-bats in that time on the field. Draft picks were brought up way too soon. Ian Happ, he should have stayed down. He shouldn't have came up as quick as he did. You know, if you didn't plan on using Albert Amora all the time, he should have stayed down. You had more than enough outfielders to kind of take care of that. You know, I can't disagree with the extra year signing of Dexter Fowler because, let's be honest, he was offered the qualifying and then got paid less, but got a monster deal in St. Louis, and obviously the Cubs were going to pay it. Jason Hayward, that one, I don't know. I think there's a lot of fans that didn't really like that signing to begin with. It's definitely overvalued, but his defense, you know, if you signed him on his defense, I would have been happy for that. That's a huge contribution to the team because they are a defensive-minded team, which no one seems to realize because they're all really good at defense. But then, you know, like last year or the year before, whatever it was, you go out and sign Dana Descalso for what? You have like 12 second basemen. What do you need a veteran locker room leader when your supposed locker room leader, your leader of the team is Anthony Rizzo? So what are you telling when you're Theo and you've already come out and put Rizzo as your guy, as the guy to represent the Cubs, and now you're going to go sign another guy and then tell him, oh, it's a locker room leader. I'm sitting there, I'm Anthony Rizzo. Well, what the hell does that mean for me? Me and my measly $10 million a year or whatever small deal that he, you know, was able to rake in for Rizzo. You know, it's things like that. And then you can't fault the Cubs again for holding Bryant back, but I don't – if you buy into and you're believing the hype that you're putting around a guy, it's kind of a, for lack of a better word, a dick move to hold him down for 1 month and then bring him up magically. Oh, he's ready now. You know, I mean, you're within the regulations, but you're just being a jerk, you know? So that's a kick in your ass. And then it just doesn't seem like they can secure a hitting coach that will stay with them and actually help improve the guys.
Yeah, because you start thinking about, you know, what this core of players is, and I mean, you know, the Bryants, the Rizzos, the Baez, the Contreras, you know, I mean, you look at these guys, and I mean, that's as good or if not better than what any team can run out against you. So, you know, I mean, that just kind of even makes it even stranger when you start to look at, you know, this 5-year period of, you know, only the one World Series trip, and then just the fact that there were so many years. I mean, these last 3 years, they haven't even really been serious contenders. Last year, they were a complete joke. You know, I mean, you can't tell me that the Brewers and the Cardinals were better than the Cubs last year. You know, I'm never going to buy that. So I don't know if, you know, did Joe Maddon get outmanaged? Did Theo get outmaneuvered? Or is it just the guys on the field that are, you know, laissez-faire about, well, you know, I've got my ring at home in my safe, and I've got millions upon millions of dollars in the bank. I'll never need any more money. You know, maybe that killer instinct isn't there. You know, and trying to go out and get a title isn't that important anymore. So, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, we've had John Lester around for a while. We have Kyle Hendricks around for a while. You know, there's been a bit of influx with the pitching, and the bullpen has always been kind of questionable, but you can say that about every single team in the major leagues. So, you know, it's not just the Cubs that have had that to deal with. And, yeah, I mean, just, you know, and I don't even know why. I think just what made me kind of start looking at it last night was the fact that literally they made Sonny Gray look like a multiple-time Cy Young Award winner. And I'm just kind of like, okay, well, you know, he's on the Reds because he choked so bad in New York that the Yankees couldn't hang on to him. So they had to do something with him. You know, and it was just kind of like, you know, because I believe he struck out double digits while he was there, and I get it, you know, it's how baseball goes now. Everybody strikes out. You know, I'm tired of that being an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody's doing it. You know, like my mother used to say to me, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you do it? Well, no.
Yeah. I had a teacher tell me that once, and I said, well, how high is the cliff? And he just looked at me and said, go back to your seat.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, you know, there's something fundamentally wrong here with the whole structure of this team to only have one trip to the World Series, you know, and that's what I'm, you know, getting at. You know, yeah, hey, it's great to have a winning team, you know, and yeah, they were a winning team last year, but you want to come into every year thinking you have a legitimate shot at going to the World Series. And, you know, like coming into this year, there's no reason the Cubs shouldn't. Again, when you look at it, they're easily the best team in the Central. You know, I know everybody is really excited about the Reds this year, you know, and it, you know, because they, you know, they made a, you know, the big Moustakas signing, and they added the Japanese guy Akiyama, and I'm trying to remember if they brought a pit. Yeah, well, you know, they got Trevor Bauer last year. So, you know, I get it. You know, you're like, oh, hey, look at what they're doing. Oh, my God. Because, you know, we went through that with the Cubs when they did all this. But they're not better than the Cubs. You know, the Cardinals aren't better than the Cubs. The Brewers aren't better than the Cubs. You know, and obviously we could throw the Pirates in there if you want, but we know how Pittsburgh kind of does things. So, Dan, I mean, what's going to be the excuse again this year? You know, we're going to go, well, it was a short season. Things didn't go work out, so we didn't get into the playoffs. Or it was David Ross's first year as a manager, so it was a learning experience. We didn't get into the playoffs.
I need one
you
more.
Know, Dan,
I need one more, Big Jack.
I don't think I have one more. you know, but I mean, you know, this window is closing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I mentioned, you know, Chris Bryant's going to be a free agent. It really looks like they're not going to sign him. You know, you got Javi Baez coming up. You got Wilson Contreras coming up. You're going to have Kyle Schwarber coming up. You know, do you bring John Lester back on a maybe a lower money deal for another year or two? You know, Rizzo's contract, luckily for them, is very team friendly, and I think he's got 2 or 3 years on it with the options. So they're really lucky there. But you know, I mean, what do you do? I mean, you're not going to be able to keep all these guys together, but Theo loves his draft picks, and like you've pointed out before, Theo can no longer go about business the way he has because they've changed the rules, and he can't win like he did in Boston and Chicago.
Nope.
So, you know, has he proven that he's been able to adjust? I don't know. if I'm so sure about that.
Well, and not only that, like you said, he hasn't proven yet that he can adjust to the new CBA and how things are conducted. But, you know, another portion of it is he literally based all of his Cubs drafting on hitting. And I can't remember 100%. No, because he didn't do that in Boston because we had some pretty great pitchers come out. You know, I forget where Clay was drafted. Like, Clay Buchholz, when he was with the Red Sox, was great. I think he was a supplemental first-round draft pick somewhere in there. You know, he was one of those guys that came out of all those supplemental picks that Theo was getting for, you know, like the Cubs signing Nomar Garcia-Parra. Boston, when Theo did that, he had like a plethora – he had a more-than-average amount of guys that he was able to offer qualifying offers to that he knew weren't going to take. So, you know, in a matter of like 2 or 3 seasons, where a team like the Red Sox would only have one first-round draft pick, you know, he was coming away with like 3 or 4. And before the last CBA, you know, he was still getting them in the top picks. It wasn't like it is now where your pick comes after everybody else's and, you know, the way things go and depending on your luxury, your tax and all that stuff, it's different. But, you know, he was knocking out first-round draft picks. And, I mean, it worked so well in Boston. Hey, you think about it, after he left, they won another World Series, 2013. That was partly his team, a team of people that he brought in. That was him. You know, what did they won again in 18. Well, we know how they won, but, you know, that stuff just kind of kept rolling. And I don't see, barring, you know, slamming on that center field wall, in the bleachers that makes a lot of noise, can the Cubs really pull off something like that?
Well, here, I can tell you that Buchholz was the 42nd pick in the 2005 draft. So yeah, he was that was a supplemental pick there. They also got Kobe Ellsbury in the first round at number 23. And to kind of answer your other question, Theo has taken pitchers in the first round in 2017 and 2019. He selected Brendan Little, who was a left-handed pitcher out of, here you go, Dan, he was at State College of Florida, Manatee, Sarasota. And then in 2019, he took a right-handed pitcher by the name of Ryan Jensen. So that's where they went with that.
Well, and you think about it, you know, my dad and I were talking about this the other day. Last Saturday, we were at my nephew's baseball game, this kid's a gamer, so you can imagine how much fun it is to watch. And I don't mean playing games, I mean video games. So you can imagine how exciting it is to watch him play baseball. Yeah, he was more excited that we were behind him in center field than he was to be there. We're listening to the game, and I was laughing because Dwayne Underwood came up. You know, he was finally, I think he was a 2012 or 13 draft pick for the Cubs. And I'm like, oh, I think he had some time last year, but nothing significant compared to this season already. I was like, hey, Dad, there's the one guy that Theo drafted that's a pitcher. He's like, they didn't draft anymore. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, Dylan Cease plays for the White Sox now, and there was a couple other, they've been traded away. I'm like, but he, you know, so you try to, like you said, build this team, and he built it all off the hitting. And while guys are knocking bombs in Indiana, like Kyle Schwarber was doing, it doesn't always translate, you know. And despite all the saber metrics, which I think is good to have in the game, it's supplemental to the other stats. I don't think you should solely build a team around it. You're losing out by not going after some of the more traditional stats, like getting a guy to hit 300. I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot, but, you know, when you think about it, because in baseball, you know, 300, if you take it into a real percentage, is 30%. Well, no guy in the history of baseball goes up to bat 575 times, you know, 600 at-bats in a season and gets 300 hits. That would be amazing. You know, Mike Trout can't do that, even if he, you know, is the leadoff hitter and the ninth hitter every day. I try to figure that one out. I'm surprised Joe hasn't figured that one out. But, you know, when you think about it, that 30% of the time, that's still a high mark. You know, when the Cubs had Derek Lee and he was on a roll almost, you know, almost for a season of having 400 batting average, which I think he finished the season off in like the 360s, I mean, that was an accomplishment. And that is something that nobody's going to accomplish anymore because, oh, strikeouts don't matter. Well, if they don't matter, then why does the pitcher keep adding those to his stat lines, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is, you know, if Derek Lee would have hit 360 in the sabermetric era, they would have said, oh, it doesn't matter, it's batting average. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything that he gets on base and then he also hits third and fourth. And
right.
Guys like Ryan Terrio and Alfonso Soriano who – you know, batted first and second. Soriano's on either, you know, usually at third by now with Terrio hitting the ball and getting on first and, you know, and then driving in both runs. So, I don't know. But that doesn't, you know, the game of baseball isn't meant to win and score runs. The game of baseball, according to sabermetrics, is for an individual player to have the best war. Because,
yeah.
You know, that's what wins the World Series.
Yeah, it really seems like they've tried to take these stats and make baseball about individual players when it's really the ultimate team sport.
It's not NBA.
You know, but unfortunately that's what they seem like they want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, is, you know, you have to put up these numbers. You know, you must have these numbers. Why don't you have these numbers? Yeah, but we're winning. You know, what's the problem? So, you know, and that's just one of those things that kind of kills it. It's like, okay, great. You know, I'm doing all this, but you don't want it? I don't understand. So. You know, how does that work out? But I guess that's just kind of the way the game unfortunately goes now, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and like I was saying, you know, I don't mind the sabermetrics. You know, it's definitely part of the game. I still don't look at that stat line when I'm looking at my lineups because I haven't figured out how that will help me with fantasy-wise. But, you know, the other thing is the whole reason behind the sabermetrics was, in essence, to try to compare Mike Trout to Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
But the one thing that they forget is while the concept of the game is the same, 9 players on a field, a batter at the plate, pitcher throws the ball, batter hits the ball. That hasn't changed. But the style, the play, the makeup of the guys has changed considerably from 1930 to 2020.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Babe Ruth was great in 1930. Can I say that Babe Ruth would be that same guy in 2020? Just
yes.
Because you have a stat that says wins above replacement and he's at the top. You know what I mean? That you could put that out there all day, but that doesn't say to me that Babe Ruth is going to step up to the mound in the top of the ninth inning or the bottom of the ninth inning against Aroldis Chapman and point to the center field and hit that home run. You can't prove that. You can't tell me that. Or
no,
Gehrig, or
you know,
any of those great guys. And I'm not gonna take anything away from them. You know, but just like when the NBA was happening and everyone was jumping on the Warriors train and all the old timers are just like, oh, get off my lawn. They would never survive in my 90s basketball era, which I'm sorry that you guys are still upset about it. The Jordan era. Sorry. It is what it is. It's the Jordan era. You can call it what you want to call it, but it's the Jordan era. And everyone was bringing that up, you know, all that crap. And it's like, well, how would you survive, you know, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman in today's game? How many times would Dennis Rodman be kicked out of a game in the first half? Kicked out, you know, whatever. But, you know, so I don't know. I just hate when they make those comparisons. You know, when you have a panel of five guys on a TV and you ask them, who are your, you know, whatever sport it is, who are your five great, you know, top players? You know, essentially, everyone should be different. You know, you and I, when we talk about it, you're going to have guys that are different than me because you saw stuff that I never saw. And I only, you know, I only really have that experience from the 80s on. You know what I mean? So I get it when it comes to NBA. It's easy to really throw Magic up there. And, you know, but everyone shouldn't, and Jordan, but, you know, no one should be the same. And aside from there being a show with nothing to talk about during a pandemic, what is the need to really take a guy like Mike Trout and compare him to Babe Ruth? I don't understand that. What's the point?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, somebody obviously had a reason for it somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, it was one of those many fun things. But yeah, that was kind of my, you know, my, and again, it was just a weird thing. I don't even really know what got me kind of started down that path. But yeah, it was just kind of like, this is kind of weird. But yeah, so that's where I ended up though. Good, bad, or indifferent. So we'll see. But you know, anyway, you know, Dan, we mentioned yesterday the NBA starts tonight. I'm sure you're totally excited. Let me get that. Got to get the schedule here. I did find it kind of humorous that. You know, obviously, part of the reason the NBA did things the way they did was they wanted to make sure that Zion Williamson was showcased, and now apparently there's a chance that he's not going to be ready to play tonight. So that would be quite humorous to see happen. Yeah, we have Utah. Technically, they're at New Orleans. Obviously, we're all playing in Orlando. So it's Utah against New Orleans in the opener, Dan. They actually start at 5:30, as soon as you and I get off the air here. And then we got Clippers against the Lakers as the nightcap. They're both TNT games tonight. You got any interest in the restart of the NBA regular season? You turning it on? You checking it out? What do you got going on?
Maybe in between games in the halftime show. You said the magic three letters, so
yeah, TNT.
Exactly. You know, where's Shaq, Kenny, Charles, and that other guy going to be? Are we free? Ernie?
Ernie, yeah.
His name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. I mean, that'll be interesting. But other than that, I don't know. With baseball on, I'm definitely sticking to my baseball. But we'll see. I might turn it on because I do on the regular on the sling. I think I have TNT.
Yeah, and now they are reporting that Zion is going to play, but the way they reported is he's only going to play in short bursts. So he's going to play basically very few minutes tonight. But they are, the NBA is going to run their brand new show pony out there so everybody can get a look at him in the restart. And no, it's not a derogatory comment. If you have a show pony, you would show it to everybody. So shut up. So, but they, they want to make sure they get their nice new shiny toy out there, and they're going to showcase him, and he will get on the court. I'm sure he'll start so we can, make sure he gets all that. So, yeah, you will get to see him a little. I know the NBA is just thrilled, and I'm sure they called New Orleans to make sure this was going to happen, but that's just my theory. So there you go. So you can support Zion when you turn on. He'll be there waiting for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't that what the league needs? Though they need the next LeBron to be out there.
Eventually, they're going to have to find that guy. I mean, LeBron obviously isn't going anywhere for some time, especially if he wants to hang around to play with his kid. So, there's no real urgent need to have, the next LeBron James. I mean, it's nice to get quality, talented ball players. So, if he can be that, if he can be a really good player, obviously it just adds to the league. And it's more humorous for me to just kind of watch them parade this stuff around. And it's just like, really? And it's like, okay, here we go.
Do you think, though, that they're in a state where they really only have, as far as the talent goes, that's playing or that is capable of playing right now, is really down to James and Zion? I mean, if you take a list of the top, let's just say 10 guys for the league, those two are in it. Aren't the other eight injured?
Well, no, Anthony Davis is there, but he plays with LeBron, and you've got, Harden and Westbrook, but I don't know.
Yeah.
While they're superstars, they don't carry the kind of tag that James play, James carries, or what they hope Zion will carry. I think what the NBA is, if you could ask Adam Silver or like the board of directors behind closed doors, they would honestly tell you how much they hate the super team concept where, guys recruit their friends and get them all to play together because, it ends up regionalizing the game and it hurts the markets and especially the major markets like New York and Chicago that can't draw these guys because the teams are bad and nobody wants to come play here. If you think about the NBA, their second and third largest market isn't involved in this restarted playoff season, whatever you want to call it, because the Bulls and the Knicks were both bad. And unfortunately, they look like they're going to stay like that. Now that they've shuffled the lottery to ensure that the good teams can continue to replenish, their stockpile, a la like they did with the Lakers, to give them enough ammo, to trade for Anthony Davis. It's going to be more difficult and more difficult for bad teams to become good. And it's just one of those things where I think in the end it's a bigger negative than it is positive. I mean, yeah, okay, there's maybe, there's still going to be teams that tank, but maybe it'll eliminate some of it. But if those teams can't get the best players coming out, how do they get any better? So, you know, I mean, the Bulls were one of the worst teams in the NBA. They got the seventh pick. That got them Coby White. Was he helpful to improving them this year, Dan?
I didn't even know who they drafted.
Yeah. So, you know, and I mean, I'm sure he, you know, he's a fine player. But he wasn't Zion Williamson or Ja Morant. So, you know, I mean, it didn't help, you know, two of the bigger markets. You know, we'll see how it goes this year with the, you know, the lottery. I mean, the problem, of course, is I don't know if it's an actual superstar player out there that, you know, that's going to be in this draft. But, you know, even with that, you know, you need more than that in these big free agents. You know, Dan, give me one reason why the best free agent on the market signs with the Bulls instead of, his buddy LeBron or, you know, his friend James Harden to go play on a team that's going to got a chance to win a title.
Well, and I mean, I think it's blatantly obvious after the Cleveland Cavaliers championship win why you'd want to go play with LeBron. Because the NBA wants LeBron's team to win, and, you know, if you're on his side, you're going to win. I mean, why the hell else did D-Wade, D-Rose, give me some other Ds, go sign with Cleveland because they thought they were going to get the ring? Which, I mean, it would have been kind of cool to see Wade, Rose, and LeBron, you know, carry all the ring together. I don't know, it would have been kind of cool, but it didn't work out that way because LeBron had his other friends he wanted to get on the team. You know, so like you said, though, why would anyone want to come to dysfunctional Chicago when, you know, you can't get anyone else to come here? And the one opportunity they had to make something of it, D. Rose's head was so, I don't know where the hell, I'm not recruiting. His attitude at the time was just so like, I don't want to be here. I don't know. It just, I think there's a lot that goes on within the organization here that we don't know about. And obviously he's not allowed to talk about it. So no one will come here. I mean, to me, I would have lived it up. LaMelo and D. Rose playing together.
You know, well, you know what I mean? You look at New York, you know, the Knicks, I mean, James Dolan is the worst owner in all of professional sports.
But they did just hire Thibodeau.
Right, you know, which will help them. They will improve under Thibodeau just because he's a very good coach. But, you know, none of those superstar players are going to go, even if they could get more money to go to the Knicks, there's no way any of the guys are going to go there.
I mean, he couldn't even keep his draft pick.
Dallas.
I'd rather play in Dallas than for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just one of those things that, and like obviously, you know, New Orleans will now be able to attract, you know, quality free agents because, you know, they have Zion to work around. You know, hey, come play with Zion Williamson. Who doesn't want to go play with, you know? He's the new LeBron. Come play with him. So, you know, I mean, some of these, you know, there isn't really a gigantic free agent out there. Technically, Anthony Davis is a free agent. But I think he's got a player option. And, you know, he's playing with LeBron. He's not going anywhere. The next best guy is probably Brandon Ingram. So, you know, it's not going to be the free agent frenzy type of deal we would see if there was a gigantic name out there. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, who recruits these guys or who thinks, you know, bringing in just the right guy could help them out. And who lands where and who kind of does what. But yeah, I mean, you know, you look at some of the teams and, you know, like I said, I stick with the big two markets. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or whatever the hell I'm trying to say, I think he's 2 years away from free agency. You know, now obviously the way the NBA structures, you know, Milwaukee can give him more money than anybody, but if they don't contend or win for a title, could he possibly leave to go play with LeBron or Kawhi, or, you know, could he get recruited like that because they would contend and probably win? And again, you're looking at Chicago, New York, these gigantic TV markets, not being able to go get a guy like that. And that's just wrong.
Well, and not only that, I mean, they've been stupid with their money. Well, we know we're not going to do Jack Rabbit this year, so let's hire a guy well past his prime and pay him a ton of money, D-Wade, to just hang out for a season.
Yeah, I think they thought that was going to bring fans in. I don't know where they got that idea, but so.
Well, and then, you know, the best signing they made was Gasol. Paul, I don't know. Gasol,
yep.
Forget what the silent letters are, but I mean, he was great with the Bulls. And then, you know, that was a team that kind of had something going, and then it was like, well, it's too good to be true. So we let Paul walk, we trade Jimmy, we just trade everybody away, and now we're, oh, well, we got a slam dunk champ. Yay!
You know, that's the weirdest thing, is you get you steal Jimmy Butler in the second round of the NBA draft. So you don't expect him to turn into anything. Then all of a sudden he's legitimately like probably a top five, at minimum top 10 player. You know, he turns into, and you can't get along with him to keep him around.
Yeah.
You know, here's your building block, you know, with Derrick Rose going up in flames. Here's your building block. Here's the guy who can get you other players. And I get it. Apparently, he's a little difficult to work with because he expects everybody else to work as hard as he does. You know, and that blew up in his face in Minnesota because Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins weren't willing to do that. So, you know, now he's in Miami and things seem to be going okay. At least they're in the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, you sit there and you just kind of shake your head that, man, we had this guy and just let him go? You know, we got back for him.
And then, you know, another Chicago kid, I forgot his name already, the kid from Milwaukee, we bring him up. You know, that didn't last long. Kid didn't even want to be here.
Oh.
No.
Jabari Parker. I have the right.
Yeah.
Jabari Parker. I was thinking Tony Snell because I wanted to make fun of you, but I got the last one right on accident.
I mean, it just, you're like, what the hell is going on with this team? And, you know, and it makes sense, though, why some of the local guys were calling him Jimmy Jordan because he wanted everyone to work his heart.
Yeah. But, yeah, because, you know, like, you know, they've tried and tried, and you're never going to convince me that Zach LaVine is a superstar. You know, it's just not going to work. You know, there are people buying the Kool-Aid, so we'll see how that goes. Hey, we're back. Hey, we're going to have another podcast. How about that? You know, you're away now for a few days. It's a long one, Jeff. So Chopper 2 stops going to be the podcast. So while we're going, most of them are going to be the podcast. Get over there and check out yesterday's long one. While you're there, look over to the Facebook page. Don't want to say you're not way over there. Don't want to like it. Don't forget that Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. So if you can help me, then I'm on Twitter. We all do it every single night.